What's up? Welcome to the Existential Stoic Podcast. Do you often forget that we're actually natural beings, that we're part of nature? Right? I mean, we live in these worlds that are so fabricated, it's easy to forget, you know? And so today we're going to talk about the role of nature in your life or in life. I'm Danny here, everybody. Randy, what's up, Randy?
Yo, Danny. I think it's kind of interesting reading a lot of the Stoics. They always talked about our nature, and they talked about it in a little bit different way than we think of it nowadays, like the outdoors, but they talked about it as kind of who we are and the things that are good not only for us but also for the cosmopolis society.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, when they're talking about like human nature, right? In terms of like, how we're made up and what we are like sort of at our core, essentially, right? And I think it is interesting because they do talk about that and thinking about our actions, not just for, but for everybody, right? For the whole community around us in terms of how we're acting as a whole. I also think it's what always fascinates me too is you look back and like all the ancients, like Aristotle, Stoics, like one of the things they recognize with human nature is that they also realize that we're natural beings. And I feel like people forget this a lot now, or it's easy to like ever since the Industrial Revolution, like everything's manufactured to look the same. Like, I think about that a lot. Like, how often, like, do you go through a day where you don't see like true nature at all? It's all constructed, right? Like, you're in like a human construct all the time. It's really bizarre.
That happened to me today. I was walking through the campus of an Ivy League university, and everything was perfect, like
Yeah.
pristine. They had these sculptures that were just like, wow. And everything you went, the buildings were perfect. Everything. I was like, oh my God, no wonder people have such crippling anxiety and depression, because they look around and everything is perfect, and they're like, how do I measure up with this? I'm a flawed human being.
Yeah. Well, and you know what's funny too is like you look at like you look at like really nice campuses like that. You look at like golf courses are a good example, or like social media, you see the curated lives people make. But then you go out in the natural world and you realize like I was thinking about this the other day because I was walking through a park and like yeah, there's a lot of trees, and on the one hand they all look sort of similar, like I identify them as a certain type, but then when you look at them closely, they're all different. Every single one has flaws. Might have a little different shape of leaves or something, whatever, And I think it makes you realize too, like that nature is not about just this homogeny of the same thing and making things identical. It's about differences too. And it's about having those differences that make things be able to succeed essentially, right? Over time. I mean, like it's always our mutations that end up being the next evolutionary step in the future. So it's interesting. I feel like we lose a lot when we don't go out in nature. We don't see this sort of the world as it truly is. We're only seeing the world as we've kind of constructed it.
There was some book that I was listening to a while ago, and it was talking about how, in modern society, like modern America, people have lost one of the best things that they had, which was using their ingenuity, their creativity, their MacGyver instinct to like create things and fix things and make things out of nothing. And that gave people such fulfillment. Whereas nowadays, you just throw it out and go to Walmart. That's the answer.
And it's funny. I do wonder this though, because I've been seeing this more and more. Like you have, it's like we have so, I feel like we have fewer and fewer options of where to go now because so these companies have gotten so big. And it's interesting because it's simultaneously you see like this whole industry on like Etsy and stuff of like homemade things because they're unique, right? And they solve that. But I think to, and you make a good point. Marx said that too. Like Karl Marx said, like the only way we can realize our powers is in the world, right? The only way I can know I can make a table is if I make a table. The only way I know I can solve a problem is if I actually solve the problem, right? And so, like, we lose something important when we're not doing this and solving these problems on our own and kind of like solving them in a way that's unique to us. Do you ever think of like, dude, like, oh my God, like, just think of like the pioneers back in like early America when they went out west, like, what they had to deal with, and they had like what they brought with them, that's it.
I do think about this a lot, because back in the day, like I even remember before internet, I felt like my life had more purpose, because I wasn't just doing these things that were like somewhat like I wasn't just earning money, and I wasn't just collecting followers and like whatever else things it was that didn't actually have a direct influence on my life. I was actually doing stuff that directly impacted my life. And it feels like now there's just another layer of abstraction. And it's just like we forget that what we're actually doing here.
Dude, all the time, I think it's weird. Right? I do. I feel that way a lot. It's like, and it's like, it's a weird conundrum. Like, I feel like the technologies, in a weird way, it's opened up a lot of opportunity and possibility, obviously. But in another way, I think it's also like, it's narrowed our lives significantly. Because it's like, dude, Jared, I mean, I think back, like, because yeah, we were in high school and there was still no internet, really. I mean, it was just getting out in the world, basically, where most people had it and stuff. And like, we were fine before. Like, I remember I didn't have a cell phone originally in high school, even, and like, I did all kinds of stuff, and I think back and like, you had to occupy yourself. You couldn't just look at your screen all the time. And I think that's the other side of this too, of like, we forget that we're natural beings. Like, everywhere I go now, I just see people looking at their phones. It's like never taking a break to be in the world. You're always distracted, or it's always through some other thing, that's like a barrier to your like being present. Yeah.
I noticed recently that I have not been present while eating because, gosh, do I ever love to just turn on something on Netflix or whatever, or my computer, and just eat while doing that. And before you know it, the food's gone.
Yeah.
I wasn't even conscious of eating. So recently, I've just been shutting off everything. Phones on the other side of the room, no TV, no nothing, and just staring out a window while I'm eating.
That's a good practice.
It's crazy because like eating takes a lot longer now because or at least I just notice it a lot more,
Yeah.
and it gives like a little break to my day because my days are so hectic all the time, and it feels like from the moment I get up until I go to sleep, I'm just like nonstop doing, and this is just like a nice little break.
Yeah, I usually do that when I eat lunch. Like, there's a like a couple times a week, there's like a show that comes out that I do like, and I'll usually watch it while I'm eating lunch, because it's a good time to just take a break, right? And like stop. But you're right. Like, when you do that, you don't actually. It's funny because you're paying attention to something else. You don't even realize you're eating, in a sense, and you don't even like notice it. It is bizarre. It's weird how much it takes us out of ourselves. And like, I think this all the time. Like, it's so weird. Like, how we constructed this world that almost feels like it feels artificial. It's like I look at the ISS, right? The International Space Station. You see those guys up there, and like, yeah, that whole environment is constructed. It has to be. They're in space, right? And sometimes I feel like that's like what we've built down here in like a slightly different way, Like, you go to the cities and stuff, there's like nothing natural. It's all made, and like, it's very weird. And we've got to be losing something, right? Like,
I really like you've read the Expanse series, how like basically it's in the future, they destroyed all the green spaces in Earth, and Mars is doing this huge terraforming project where they're trying to bring greenery to Mars. And so it's funny because like they're like, you had these beautiful green spaces and you destroyed it, and then now we're trying to build it up. But I mean, it's totally true what's happening.
We're losing a lot of it, and I think the more people don't aren't conscious of it, the more likely it is to go away too, because the less we pay attention to it. Yeah.
But dude, we're not con I mean, dude, I don't get it. Like I make a habit of not looking at my phone when I'm going everywhere, and it's just crazy. People will just they know they won't even look up. Like and it's just like, how do you function? What the heck are you doing that's so important?
I had to drive. I was driving to class the other day, and like, the road I'm on is a it's a 55, right? It's this pretty straight road, but there's lights, and I hit a light. The lady in front of me starts going super slow. She's going 15. I'm like, what the hell? I go around her. She's driving and looking at her phone. I'm like, what? It makes me insane. It makes me totally insane. Yeah.
I still fantasize about going around just smacking people's phones out of their hands. Just like bam, fumble.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know.
It's dangerous though, because it's habits. And I think we've lost the habit of being present and in the world, and it's so easy. And I think this is a big part of it. It's so easy to forget that we're nature. We are natural. Like, we're not something else. 'Cause forever we've talked about that way. I mean, even going back to like Genesis, right? God made the world for Adam, basically. So it's like, even then, like, there was this distinction made, and that distinction's been on our minds for thousands of years. And I think that distinction is dangerous too, because it also makes us think of the world as something that we influence rather than something that we're a part of. And that's a really bad way of thinking.
Yeah, I had okay, so I know we're gonna wrap this episode up, but I had a very interesting encounter this week. I met somebody, so like one thing that I like to do every once in a while is go scuba diving. But when I was a child, I watched Jaws, and that has like impacted me
What
because
is scary, right?
even though I know sharks aren't aggressive, I'm still like anytime I'm getting water where sharks are known to be, I'm like, okay. So I met somebody who is intentionally going off the coast of South Africa to go scuba diving there. No,
Isn't that where great whites are?
yeah, specifically to go with great white sharks, to go scuba diving, no cage with great white sharks. And I'm like, have you never seen Jaws? And he said, I believe that God loves me and I'm not worried about that stuff. And I was just like, wow. I was like, man, I wish I could have that much confidence. But also, on the other hand, I was like, so does that mean that everybody that something bad happens to, God doesn't love? And like, what type of person thinks that like all those other people are, God doesn't love them and then loves you? So it was a very interesting moment for me because I was like, I wish I could have that, but that doesn't make sense.
That's the weird thing about beliefs, though, right? Is like, well, you hear about it. There's a lot of great white attacks off the coast of like Australia and stuff, but it's also where a lot of surfers go. And so there is a core, there's a connection there, obviously, right? And like they're on surfboards and stuff, but like, yeah, it's funny how people form these beliefs that like they think it's protecting them, but it's like at the same time, it's like, well, then if something does happen, does that mean that's the day that God hated you? What does that mean? Yeah, that's interesting. It's
So,
weird.
anyways, we didn't actually talk about the outdoors at all.
No, we
What's
didn't
your take
really.
on the outdoors, Danny? The Great Outdoors. Wasn't that
Think
a
we need to
wonderful
spend.
movie?
I know it was a good movie. I do think I do. I wish we spent a little bit more time in nature. I think, or just appreciating it. Like it doesn't even have to be like you can do it from your home. You can do it from anywhere, really. Like I like bird watching and stuff. Like I don't have to go out to the woods to do that. I can do it. Have a feeder outside. I can do it right there. Like just like
Especially with your
in.
telephoto lens.
Yeah,
I don't need
at
to leave
night. I don't need to leave
the
anywhere. I can do it from my bathroom window. But seriously, I think it is, there is something to it. And I think it does remind you that we're part of the world in a way that like we're not reminded of often because technology gives us this illusion that we're very distinct and that, I think it was in the, it was like in the 1850s, there was a scientist who said like, oh, with science and technology, we'll be able to bend nature to our will. Right. And that idea, it's like, yeah, we can try to do that, but it doesn't work. We need to work with it, not kind of against it.
I sometimes play with the idea that, like people are always like, what's the purpose of life? What all that stuff? And I sometimes joke with myself. I'm like, maybe man's purpose of life was to just coat the earth in plastic. Like, and
Could have been.
we're
Yeah.
doing it.
We're very successful at that. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
insane. But I think
Yeah.
that's
But
also why
I,
we're not aware of it, though, either, of the consequences, because we're not seeing it. We're not like paying attention to it.
we won't know. We won't know. And yeah, I think spending time in nature is good. And I think also just like stopping believing all this science mumbo jumbo. The more I learn, because I studied physics in undergrad and I studied biology as well, and I went and I got a doctorate in veterinary medicine. So I've learned all a lot of sciences. But like the more I learn about it, it's basically just this new religion where people think because it's science, it has to be true. And that if you can't prove it in science, then it's not true. And it's just like, that's 100% false. The only thing that science can prove is that something doesn't work. It can't prove that something definitively will work 1,000,000% of the time. And there's like a whole bunch of stuff recently. Like I've been listening to a bunch of stuff about the mind-body connection. And I think it's interesting to say the least, but it just can't be measured in science. So clearly it's false.
Yeah, or not, at least not measured yet, right? With the way we do science. It's funny because science is a construct, right? And science is very good at telling us how things are constructed, of like how things work by looking at them in smaller parts, but it'll never tell us why. It'll never answer the big questions. And like you said, too, there's certain things that it just doesn't, like consciousness, it still can't explain. Like big things that are important, it still has nothing to say about. So I think, yeah, I think we have to be careful about everything. I think there's a danger of falling into the trap of dogmatism with everything. Thinking that, we'll solve every problem with technology and science, thinking that, we can do that, that kind of thinking is dangerous, I think, and you need to be
So,
open to other ideas. Yeah.
hey, it's an interesting thing because I remember this thing when I was studying meditation where one of the Zen masters was like, show me your mind. Where's your mind? And you can't. And as Alan Watts did this thing about the body, how like, we think we know the boundaries of the body, but they also don't exist. It's like, show me your body. Where? Because like, okay, so let's say you're like, my body's here, clearly. But it's like,
Yeah.
okay, well, let's say we just take off the arm. Is that your body? And it's like, well, a piece of it, maybe. And it's like, okay, how about just a finger? Is that your body? I don't know. Okay, how about some skin? How about like your fingernail? If that fell off, is that your body? And it's like, where does the distinction come between your body? And if that's still part of your body, if that's still your body, then how about just like some dead skin cells? So you left those all over the place. Like you forgot about them. They were wherever you were on vacation last month. That's where they still are. So that's where your
Yeah.
body is right now. So where's your body? And it's kind of like, so the mind and the body, we think that, I mean, the mind clearly it's here in my head, in my brain, somewhere like that. The body, oh, clearly it's this thing right here, but they're both kind of
It's like
not
everything.
really.
No, and they're and in some everything's interrelated and interconnected, right? So it's like, it's all connected and all in some sense everywhere too in a weird way. Dude, the body, it's insane. I think about that, dude, like the amount of cells and the amount of other organisms that aren't our, like, bacterias and other things that are necessary, and somehow it all works together. It's amazing. It's like totally amazing and crazy. Yeah.
I was thinking this week, totally unrelated, but for anybody who's interested in animals,
Everything's been unrelated, so
I know,
it's
right?
okay.
We learned this thing called FAMACHA, which I thought was the coolest thing ever. Where basically with goats, they get because like people just deworm them without even checking, so they get these highly antibiotic resistant worms. So like basically, or anti parasitic resistant worms, ones that just can't be killed. And so,
Jesus.
and it'll end up killing the goat because they have no parasitic parasite whatever
Whatever
insecticides that'll
stuff's called.
kill. They have none of them that'll kill these worms, the hookworms and goats. Now the hookworms eat blood. And one of the cool things that you can do with goats is you can check their third eyelid to see what color it is. It'll go from like white all the way to red. White tells you they barely have any blood left. Red says normal. Okay. And it'll
Really?
go like all those shades of pink all between. And so they have a little FAMACHA card that has, I think it's like five different colors on it, maybe six different colors of pink. And it'll tell you like based on that what their hematocrit concentration is. And so basically, this FAMACHA thing solves the problem of people just giving all these medications. I was thinking of this because I was looking for hand soap, and literally every hand soap was 99.9% antimicrobial. And I was like, probably the only thing that we're doing here is making some new germs that are
Yeah.
antimicrobial resistant. But anyways, so what they do is when you have a skilled veterinarian, they'll go in there with their FAMACHA card, and they will check every goat's third eyelid. It takes like a second per goat. Okay.
Okay.
And they'll figure out which ones are the ones with the lowest blood count because those are the ones with the heaviest worm burdens. So they will just deworm those goats because it'll kill almost all of the worms except for the antimicrobial resistant ones or the anti-parasiticide resistant ones, anthelmintic resistant ones. There we go.
There
That's
you
the word.
go. Getting there
So
eventually.
it'll kill all of the it'll kill all of the worms except for the anthelmintic resistant ones. But because you have all these other goats that are not getting dewormed, they have the normal worms in them that aren't resistant, and it creates this refugia, so it dilutes out the anthelmintic resistant worms.
Weird. That's
How
really
cool.
weird. But I've read that a ton that, like, our use of our heavy use of cleaning products and our heavy use of soaps and stuff, and like especially with young children, I've heard associations of that with autoimmune disease
Oh, totally.
increase. Yeah, because like your body is not equipped to deal. It's not getting that normal sort of response and ability to build up its immune system. And then on
Yeah,
top of
people are
that,
freaking terrified of germs. It's
well, and
crazy.
our overuse of antibiotics too causes antibiotic resistant stuff, which makes it even worse. And it's like, it's interesting because when, again, bringing back to nature, when you remember, nature will always adapt, right? And it's interesting because the more we try to force nature to our will, the more nature also is adapting to those things that we're doing and ultimately creating things that are even harder to deal with in some sense.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's really
totally.
crazy. So there you have it,
Yeah.
I guess. That's something.
Did we talk? Yeah,
I don't know
that's
what
an
we talked about.
episode. That's an
There you go.
episode. Wrap it up.
That's an episode. The role of nature, sort of, in our lives, or something around that topic. All right. If you guys enjoyed this rambling thing, check us out wherever your podcast or watch it on YouTube. Please like, share, subscribe. It helps us out a lot. We'll be back later this week with another episode. Until then, though, later, Andy.
Later, Danny.